This program was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local programs, go to our website, freshfm.net, or download the Access Internet Radio app.
Hello and welcome. I'm Galen Pound and you're listening to Top Writers. My guest today is Chrissy Ward. Chrissy is a published author of adult and children's nonfiction, short stories and articles on diverse subjects. Her works have been published both nationally and internationally, and Chrissy has had two stories broadcast on national radio. She is currently branch editor for the Top of the South branch of the New Zealand Society of Authors, which involves writing and distributing the weekly electronic newsletter and maintaining the branch's website. Chrissy is also a proofreader and copy editor, which is what I'll be discussing with her today. Welcome to Top Writers, Chrissy.
Thank you, Galen. Good to be here.
How did you become a copy editor and proofreader?
Well, it was to a certain extent self-taught. When I was living in Britain in the 1980s, I was working sort of quite by chance, I got into it, for two non-fiction publishers in Oxford. And the job that they happened to have vacant was preparing their catalogue. And they said, all right, would you like to do it? And I said, okay, give it a go. So I was sort of presented with a sort of basic outline of what to do and a list of printers' marks and said, go for it, more or less. So I did that for a number of years. I ended up working for two different publishers. But I just found that I had a knack for it. A bit of a perfectionist, I suppose, and it really annoys me if things are wrong. So I loved finding, spotting mistakes and letting people know about it. So, yeah, so one of the things that I did, I mean, this sounds a bit funny, but at that stage, putting the catalogue together involved literal copy and pasting. So I would get paper proofs, enormous sheets and sheets of them. I had a page template. I cut out each item and glued it to the template with an enormous pot of paste. So that's the origin of cut and paste.
Things are certainly a lot easier today.
They are. But that was actually quite fun, taking over the board table for a week.
Right, now what exactly is a copy editor and what do they do?
The copy editor looks at somebody's writing and makes it better, basically. It's looking at things like the structure of the work. Does it flow? Is the things like point of view consistent? Is the grammar correct? Is the punctuation okay? In works of fiction, are people being consistent about things like whether the hero's eyes are blue or brown and whether he's got a beard or not? These things, they sound really basic, but when people, particularly if people are writing a longer piece of fiction, they sort of change their mind halfway through sometimes and they decide that instead of the heroine being called Charlotte, she's going to be called Caroline. So halfway through, she suddenly changes her name and they just don't notice because in their mind, she's Charlotte. And they don't realise that she was once Caroline. So that is the sort of editing that I do. There is a much bigger type of editing, which is structural editing, which is what an editor of a big publishing house would do, where they actually look at the whole thing and say, halfway through, you need to change your focus here and bring in more excitement or so on. But that's the big stuff, whereas I'm a bit leveled down from that. It's more tin tacks stuff.
Right, we often hear writers saying, you know, I've got to lose 10,000 words and that. And the biggest complaint I hear about editors from writers is, that was my favourite part of the book and they want me to cut it out.
That's all right. That's called killing your darlings. But what you need to remember, that the editor will be telling you that for a very good reason, usually to do with, well, if it's a commercial publisher, it will be to do with the commercial possibilities of the work. But even on, if you're self-publishing, a huge book is usually much too big. cut. it's much better to say something in 6 words rather than 20. And believe it or not, it can always be done. It's always possible to cut without losing the sense of the passage. And it's very good discipline. One of the things that you can do to sort of get used to cutting is enter short stories competitions or submit to magazines that have a word count. So you sit down and you write your story, but there's always a limit, like 2,000 words or 1,000 words, and you might find that your initial story is, say, 50 or 60 words over the limit. You need to get it down. That's a very good discipline to see what you can cut. So you cut out things like adjectives and silly things like she chuckled, or you know, she said was better. She raced rather than she ran very fast. You see what I mean? There's all sorts of ways that you can just cut words, tighten up your writing, and make it more vivid.
Right. Another thing writers face is when they write for the New Zealand market, and then they send off and get work published for another market, say the American one. And I've heard of this happening where they've had to rewrite the book suitable for the American market.
Yeah. Yes, that can happen. Yeah.
That must be really difficult if you're not an American. And
well, you can simply change the spelling on your word processor to American English and just do search and replace. That's actually quite, that part of it is easy, the spelling. Usages, that's more difficult. But if you were submitting to an American market, then you would need to contact an American editor and get them to look at it and just suggest what's wrong and what's not right. And also, if you happen to have any friends from America, get them to read through it and just spot anything that won't work.
Right, now proofreading.
Proofreading.
Before we get on to that, what comes first, the copy editing?
The copy editing, yeah. That should come while you're still in the process of actually creating your work. Proofreading is the very, very last thing that happens before you send your work off or get it printed. Don't try and do it yourself. Get somebody else to do it. And the reason for getting somebody else to do it is that the writer is so involved in their piece of work that they continue to see what's in their head or what they meant to say. They don't actually see what's down on the page, the screen, or the piece of paper. You need a fresh pair of eyes. People charge for this, but you know, if you want your work to be professional and looking good, it's worth doing. Proofreaders are looking at every single word. So it's quite a slow process, and you have to stay sort of distanced from the piece. So you have to read very slowly, sentence by sentence, sort of hiding what's following so that your eye doesn't run on and simply assume that you understand it. So checking for things like spelling mistakes, grammar, use of italics, non-italics, things like that, whether the writing makes sense and whether it's easy to understand, because that's the whole point of things like grammar and spelling. It's so that the reader isn't distracted by mistakes on page or the screen, but they actually see without any effort at all what the writer is trying to convey, the meaning of the word.
Right, what are some of the most common mistakes?
Muddling up things like commas, leaving them out when they should be there. There was a rather nice example that I saw on Facebook recently where the meme was, commas saved lives, because there were two sentences. One was, let's eat, comma, children, or let's eat children, without a comma. Well, one is saying to the children, let's eat, and the other is saying, let's eat children.
Right. Another one a friend of mine complains about all the time is bananas, a comma between and the S.
Yes. Well, one would hope that creative writers would know better than that. That's a greengrocer's mistake.
And the other thing is people changing tense.
Yes, that's right. Yes, suddenly switching from past to present for no apparent reason at all, or suddenly switching point of view. So you start off by saying, I did this and that and that, and then suddenly you get things like, I tossed my unruly curls. Well, People never say that. I tossed my unruly curls is something that somebody else might say about a person. She tossed her unruly curls, but you know, it's suddenly a switch of point of view, which is, again, it sort of makes the reader stop and think, what? And things like word order being slightly wrong, so the clauses are in the wrong place, or just basic spelling mistakes, you know, the wrong grammar being used.
Do you think people today rely too much on computer and spell check?
Possibly. You said spell check is useful, but don't rely on it totally. But don't ignore it either, because it's following a set of rules, and there will be a reason why something is suddenly underlined in a wiggly red line. So don't just allow it to automatically correct your work. That's a bad mistake. But if there is a wiggly red line, stop and look at it and say, why is that there? And you can figure it out and say, yes, I do need to change that. Or say, no, I don't need to. I just ignore it. The things like that will change mistakes that you've made deliberately, or so mistakes in quote marks. Like if you wanted to show that somebody was not very well educated and they were speaking in a sort of slangy type way, or saying use instead of you. If you write that, you intend to, but your grammar checker will pick it up as a mistake. So you could make deliberate mistakes for a reason.
If you're going to use slang like use, you've got to use it right the way throughout.
Oh, for that person, yes. Yeah. But things like that are a good way of distinguishing characters. So you would use that for a certain type of person if you wanted to show that he or she was maybe a bit rough or not very well educated, and they would speak in a completely different way from somebody who'd just graduated from Harvard.
Right. Now, another thing that really irritates me is the lack of capital letters at the beginning of a sentence.
Yes. Well, that's a sort of basic thing that a proofreader looks for.
So basic rules, when you're writing a story, you've finished it, you read it out aloud, and you should be looking for your commas.
Yes, spelling, grammar, consistency. Yeah, there are a lot of cases where things can be treated differently. You just need to decide which form you're going to use and stick to that. And also, in New Zealand, you need to sort of think about Māori words if you're going to use those, and decide whether or not you're going to use macrons. And it's usually now people are recommended that we do use macrons.
Well, that can change the whole meaning of the word,
yes,
can't it?
Can.
It?
Yes, so. Yeah.
Right. Now, you're currently involved with the Horizons anthology. Can you
That's
tell us
right.
a little bit about that, please?
Yes. Well, this is actually Horizons 4 we're up to now. It's an anthology that comes out biennially. It's put together by the Top of the South branch of New Zealand Society of Authors, and it includes the winning stories from 2 years of the Page and Blackmore short story competitions, sponsored by Page and Blackmore booksellers, but actually put together by the branch. And so that's 10 short stories from Horizons 4, includes this year and last year's stories, plus the poems that have been displayed in the window of Page and Blackmore bookshop for 2 years. So that's an interesting process. I'm helped with that by two other people.
So are you going through, again, copy editing and proofreading with that?
Oh, yes. Well, that's all been done now.
Now, the song you've chosen today is?
Caro Nome from Verdi's Rigoletto.
Sung by Nadine Sierra.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Why did you choose this version?
It's because Verdi's Rigoletto was my introduction to opera, which is actually my favourite art form. When I was a young teenager, some friends of my parents had a big collection of LPs, and I sat down one day and listened to the whole of Rigoletto, following the words with the libretto, so English and Italian side by side. And this is the heroine's signature aria. And I chose this version because it's from a live rehearsal. So there's a bit of sort of extra stage noise and so on, but it's a more lively version than a studio recording.
And it was from a more modern production too,
well,
wasn't
yes,
it?
It's a 2015, one of Metropolitan Opera's productions.
Right. So now we're going to listen to Nadine Sierra singing Caro Nome in the role of
Gilda, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chrissy, for sharing your knowledge with us today. If you're serious about your writing, proofreading, copy editing and editing are an essential piece of the process.
They are, absolutely, yes.
And, you know, people, there seem to be more and more books coming out full of mistakes in there, and I know a lot of people just give up and stop reading them.
Yes.
So if you're serious, please employ these people. Now, if you're looking for people that do this sort of thing, you can go to the Top of the South website, and there will be a list of people available.
That's right, yep. And the website address is www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thank you, Chrissy. I'm Galen Pound, and you've been listening to Top Writers. A podcast of this program and upcoming events can be found on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Other great local programs from Fresh FM are available through the Access Internet Radio app or our website, freshfm.net.